An update on the situation in Greece. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Prime Minister of Greece is bound for Brussels today to try to persuade lenders to unlock more emergency money to keep Greece solvent and remain part of the European single currency. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us now for an update with a key deadline just 2 days away now. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
Is it fair to say that the countries that lend to Greece seem to have formed some kind of consensus about what they expect from Greece before they lend more here?
Well, it's not just the countries. It's a group of institutions as well, including the International Monetary Fund, the European Central Bank, the European Commission. But yes, it does appear that they have come up with a shared position on exactly what Greece should do, although exactly what that is has not been revealed in public.
The Greek Prime Minister will be there in person for the negotiations today, and there are indications he wants to be relieved of some of his country's debt. He's under pressure from his political party to get that relief. Are these creditors inclined toward writing off some of this?
Well, I think there are divisions there among the creditors. The International Monetary Fund has in the past suggested that Greece needs some sort of debt relief, but it's politically very difficult for the Eurozone governments to do that, especially as we've got increasingly hostile electorates in some countries. So I think there has been, within the creditors, a degree of papering over the cracks.
What's your sense, Andrew, about the firmness of this deadline supposedly on Friday? I mean, should financial professionals cancel their weekend plans, or is this likely to move into next week?
I wouldn't cancel plans. Greece does have the option of rolling up all its payments to the IMF that are due in the month of June to the end of the month and paying them all in one go then. The latest I have heard is that they haven't done that, but that option clearly is there. And so that would potentially make the end of the month a very big date with all those payments due. And it's also the formal end of the extension of the bailout agreement with the Eurozone. They need to have a deal in place by that date, though, frankly, we've seen so many occasions in which things have been put off into the future. It wouldn't altogether surprise me if that were to happen again.
The BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker in London. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
In Qatar, the key stock index is down 2.5% since last week. Analysts point to the criminal cases against figures in World Soccer's governing organization, FIFA, and the announced resignation of its chief, Sepp Blatter, was seen as a powerful booster of Qatar as the site of the next World Cup. And if Qatar were to lose that, the economy there would forfeit billions. Now on to help for struggling military veterans. Post-traumatic stress and substance abuse mean some veterans land in legal trouble. Authorities are trying to deal with this tough and expensive issue by convening special courts for veterans that aim to address problems but to reduce prison time. More than 200 of these special courts have opened in the last few years. As part of a Marketplace series on mental illness and the criminal justice system, Alisa Roth reports from one veterans court in Orange County, California.
When Eric Castro came back from Afghanistan 5 years ago, he had PTSD and an alcohol problem. Not that he was going to admit it.
I don't want to ask for help. I wanted to do what I knew how to do. And it was just violence, drinking. I mean, in the Marine Corps, we were just drinking a lot.
He got caught drunk driving. And then he got so drunk, he beat up a worker in a Subway restaurant. And he couldn't even remember what happened. He woke up the next morning in jail facing felony charges, including assault and battery. He was not excited about veterans court, but it seemed better than prison. And as it turns out, it was familiar.
It was just like being in the Marine Corps again. They're watching over you. They're just on you.
The program is modeled on drug courts, where the emphasis is on treatment and on recovery rather than on punishment. The veterans are connected to services, mostly through the VA, and they have to use them or risk going back to jail. It's intense. There's substance abuse treatment and group therapy and individual therapy, plus there are regular check-ins with the judge and the probation officer at court.
Because they make you get those demons out, and then they make you just work, 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 work.
But it's also very supportive.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon!
Joe Perez is the court's presiding judge.
What makes this unique is that all of us are getting together and trying to figure out what's the best way to keep this person from coming back.
At a recent hearing, Perez introduced the court mentors, who are all combat veterans.
Jerry Baker, Air Force.
Good. Wally Holdsworth, Air Force.
Good.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
These mentors help defendants figure out how to cope in the civilian world. Judge Perez says keeping people like Castro out of prison has all kinds of benefits, but...
The bottom line, it's saving lives and money.
Yes, money. The court estimates the program has saved the county more than $2 million in jail and prison costs since it started around 7 years ago. But it's still small. There are fewer than 40 veterans enrolled in it today. About 100 others have either graduated or been asked to leave. Douglas Marlowe is an expert on these kinds of alternative courts. He says it's too early to say how well things are working.
But comparing it to what the success rates are in the justice system in general, we have good reason to be confident that we will have substantial impacts above and beyond what's happening currently.
In other words, veterans do so poorly in the regular criminal justice system, these programs are almost guaranteed to have better outcomes. In Orange County, California, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And securities regulators are looking at new powers to make CEOs hand back more money if a company fouls up its financial statements. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that the SEC is about to propose new rules for these so-called clawbacks. The idea is when a top executive's compensation is tied to performance, why should they still get paid the same if the performance was worse than reported? The SEC can already order clawbacks if a company is found to have fiddled with its numbers, but the authority could be expanded to include a broader range of mistakes. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.